In this episode, I spoke with Braden Cruz about paid media and AI. Braden has managed over $450 million in ad spend throughout his entire career. That's about 7 years all in all. So he really knows what he's talking about and brought the heat in this episode. So without further ado, let's talk paid media with Braden. No need for anything too choppy or anything. So cool. let's start just by level setting and giving the audience an idea of who you are, what you've done. So if you wouldn't mind giving brief bullet points on your career path, you know, the key milestones that have led you to this point, and then what you're focused on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So growth marketer through and through, been doing this for going on 7 years now. So kind of started in organic and SEO type stuff, and that eventually led down a broader path of paid media. I think when you're a growth marketer, that term is like quite general. So you end up taking on a lot of roles throughout your career that ultimately touch multiple facets of a business and how it grows revenue, right? That's kind of what the function of a growth marketer I view really is kind of just expanding operations on the marketing front that can kind of help facilitate the business's goals. So that's kind of what I've been up to since speaking with you. And as of now, I'm kind of just kind of taking on cool projects as they come, focus a lot on paid media. So working with a lot of D2C brands, SaaS brands as well. I'm over at StreamYard as well, doing some of their paid media. But yeah, overall, it's been a fun time. So if you're looking for anything like that, I also do consulting from time to time as well right now. So that's where I'm at.
So I know you've managed a lot in ad spend, millions upon millions of dollars. When you're looking at paid media right now, what are the areas, channels, tactics, or however you want to take that are kind of most interesting to you right now? Is there anything that's really standing out as promising?
Yeah, there's a couple things that I'm seeing right now. Obviously, with the state of digital marketing really taking a major turn in the recent years, privacy concerns, as well as things like iOS 14 happened a few years back, and most recently, cookies being deprecated, right? There's a lot of considerations. Aside from those obvious facts, I think that the tactics that are still working is creating a great customer experience. I've written a couple pieces on this in my day, but I still hold the firm belief that net lifetime value of a customer matters beyond anything. And if we're putting focuses on creating an experience both on-site from a creative perspective, and obviously in the product itself that's resulting in repeat purchases, that's ultimately what's going to drive the needle forward there. So in terms of like tactical wise and channels, I think Facebook is still kind of like the unbeaten beast, if you will, right? That's still the Goliath that nobody can seem to take down. TikTok's really tried to make a bold approach against it, but it's still not coming in close. I think Facebook still represents the biggest opportunity for most brands getting into paid media today. I'm a little bit biased because I do deal more with D2C brands. So, selling physical products, and in that game, I think that Facebook just has been historically the best driver for performance for them. But if you're a B2B marketer, or if you're selling a service, you might find that, hey, like I have a pocket on LinkedIn that's crushing for me right now, and scale that up, right? So it's not a one size fits all, but it's certainly, there are best practices that should be adhered to, I think.
It's funny on the Facebook side. You're always kind of tempted to just be like, oh, Facebook's finally dead. Nobody talks about it. And yet just people keep making money off of it. They keep using it. But I'm curious from your perspective, what it would actually take for TikTok to become as big as a Facebook in terms of paid media. Like, what are the things that are missing right now that Facebook has, TikTok doesn't, that could close that gap?
Yeah, this is a really loaded question. I think it revolves honestly around the conversation around attribution, right? I think all ad platforms miss the mark when it comes to attribution. That's why, you know, platforms like Northbeam have popped up in recent years, as well as a handful of others that are attempting to solve for a multi-touch attribution solution to understand what platforms really are driving that impact. And I think in terms of TikTok ever coming close to beating Facebook in that category, they would really just have to double down on showing efficacy of TikTok. I think the common path or the common thread that happens is an advertiser will say, hey, let's run a limited test on TikTok. Maybe it's, 20% of our Facebook spend. that we're going to go try over there. And inevitably, it just like tanks, right? Just nothing happens. And in-platform performance looks terrible. But in reality, if you would have like done a little bit more digging with either MTA or even a post-purchase survey, a lot of times there actually is efficacy from TikTok, but it's on that top of funnel perspective, right? So it's very view through conversion data that's happening there. It's not a lot of last click. And that's how a lot of people are still evaluating their paid media. They're never going to get any efficacy shown through TikTok that way. So I think it's just a matter of TikTok closing those gaps. And I also think the way that TikTok allows you to kind of set up campaigns as opposed to Facebook is still very cumbersome. There's a lot missing just from like, you know, normal gripes of like UI things in TikTok that are not there. They're obviously new, right? They're still the new kid on the block. They have a lot of learning to do. I think they have a place in the broader digital sphere. Do I think it'll ever really get up there? I don't know. I don't think so. I really don't.
Wait, when you're looking at all the different tools, I think one common theme across marketing in general, but also in paid media specifically, is this idea that now there's too much uncertainty in the world. We got to do more with less. We got to reduce budgets. We've got to add more creative, less budget. Like that's a real big push across any channel now. How have you felt that personally in the past couple of years, especially? And what do you think needs to be done to get more with less?
Yeah, that's a very good point. More creative, less spend. We used to, like back in my agency days, we used to like do a lot of iterative creative testing, right? So think about like tiny little changes, like, you know, whether a certain bubble text font works better versus the other, or the background color of a specific line item versus another, right? Very incremental, small changes. And nowadays we see brands are like, hey, I can't afford to spend, you know, X amount of dollars to let every little micro test run for a week, right? It's like, I need to get bigger swing creative tests out the door in my Facebook ad account or even TikTok and find the learnings, kind of read the tea leaves a little bit more instinctually rather than data for everything, right? So I think in terms of how that has impacted things, in my day-to-day at least, I'm finding myself trying to guide conversations with CMOs, executives, founders of D2C brands. Like, hey, we know this creative is directionally doing well, so let's double down on creating more versions like this versus, you know, waiting for everything to have a statistically significant amount of spend and conversion data to move forward. We just can't rely on that anymore.
Let's talk AI for a minute. I'd be remiss if I didn't.
It always comes up.
You know, yeah, it's always there now. So first off, let's just start by level setting with AI. Talk me through the touch points of using AI in your own workflow. Like, where are all the instances where AI is being injected by you right now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm across a lot of different kinds of projects, and I think that really speaks to the versatility of AI because I'm using them in every aspect, right? Whether that's a digital product I'm creating, a resource guide I'm creating, an internal SOP, or even ad copy for an ad for a client, right? No matter what I'm doing in my day-to-day, there is some aspect or form of AI involved. So I think it's still in its infancy. And I think we're all pretty much looking at ChatGPT when we have this conversation. I think it's still at the forefront. Certainly other AI, solutions are coming out, like large language models that are attempting to kind of address other or similar pain points for multiple people, I think is good. Who wins out? What's going to be the net of that? I think only time will tell. I definitely found a lot of use out of it. Custom GPTs is like a huge thing that ChatGPT recently released that is really helping things out. If you don't know what that is, it's basically the ability to kind of set these pre-instructions, if you will, kind of out of the gate to ChatGPT that kind of informs its responses and tailors it to give a different output. There's a lot more you can do than just that, but that's just one thing and one way that I'm utilizing AI today.
Well, what are your custom GPTs? I'm assuming you're using it for things like creative copy, things like that. Is there anything else?
Yeah, a lot of advertisers have like their own little build me a content brief bot nowadays. So I definitely have things like that. But even like on a personal level, I have a chat a custom GPT that's a Spanish tutor to teach me Spanish so I could interface with my in-laws who only speak Spanish. So, you know, there's multiple uses and it's very helpful.
Let's pivot that into in the larger picture of paid media now. When you're looking at, you know, next few years, you don't even have to give predictions, maybe just even hopes. Mm-hmm. What are the things that you hope to see in AI that will help make paid media better, more compelling, more interesting, more viable?
Yeah, you know, I think this is actually might be one area where I saw TikTok winning pretty huge actually recently. They have a creative assistant AI kind of built natively within the tool in the Ads Manager that kind of helps you build out it helps you research what is trending right now in a specific category. It'll show you TikToks on the platform that are trending, and it'll kind of help you build out like content briefs based on those things that you're finding and researching, right? I think that's huge because I think part of the issue with why people think TikTok doesn't work for them is because they usually miss the preamble work that goes on before actually getting into an ads manager and setting a campaign live, right? So I would hope to see more of that, like the TikTok creator assistant, even in Facebook or other channels, and go a lot further within TikTok as well. My hope would just be that it becomes more a part of our workflow and automates a lot of the stuff that we usually skip over out of either oversight or just impulsiveness, as we're all trying to just make more money and do more for the brands that we're servicing.
It's a good point. I kind of feel the same way. Like when I'm thinking AI, I feel a lot more confident that integrated AI is useful compared to standalone AI. Like ChatGPT is good, but AI natively embedded everywhere is probably same. Better. So I think we're aligned there. What, you know, zooming out a little bit, you consult people, you advise brands, you've built stuff, you've run ads for a lot of people. You've probably seen a lot of dumb stuff that brands have done. So I'm curious, like you could go most common things or just most interesting, huge mistakes you've ever seen. But what are the big mistakes that brands are making?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it dumb. You know, ads is so new. It's not been around very long. Even if you go back in time to like the beginning of Facebook and the very first ad ever, like on Facebook, that is, you know, this is all still like pretty primitive. It changes so often because it is new, right? It hasn't hit that stride yet where it's truly like a stable medium of communication even, right? So I, at least that's my view, right? So when I look at the things that are quote unquote dumbest, I think it really just revolves around people not fully understanding that this is an algorithm that we're purchasing media on. It's buying the media automatically for us. It's not like a, you know, TV spot or radio buy where I called up the station myself and placed the insertion order. For those of you out there that even know what an insertion order is, you're ahead of the curve. But I've definitely been there too, where I've placed, you know, traditional media and that's kind of the game there. So I would say that the dumbest thing that I've done, at least, is think that a campaign works outside of the scope that it actually does, right? So a good example of this would be like, you know, I'm going to set up a reach and frequency campaign in the hopes that it's going to somehow cooperate and increase the efficacy of my Advantage Plus shopping campaign, right? Or some approach to that. You do see a lot of really crazy things in accounts where people are trying to draw correlations to campaigns or other channels that don't exist and they can't, right? Because that's not how the ad platforms view things. They view things in a box by themselves. If you're running a reach and frequency campaign, you tell Facebook, I want to burn my money on impressions, it will gladly do that for you versus you setting up a campaign that's optimizing for purchases. It's gonna think a little bit harder about that and try and give you users who are going to purchase something on your site. So, you know, trying to draw conclusions out of things that are not meant to happen is one pitfall that can cause lack of performance.
When you look back, I think you mentioned 7 years now that you've been doing this. Mm-hmm. What was different then?
A lot.
Walk me through, like, what's the gap between what you do now and what you did then?
Yeah, it was a lot more like day trading, honestly. It was, I actually got a chance to interview Charlie T myself the other day. And for those of you who don't follow him, he makes great content. He's been doing this a lot longer. And he kind of uses the reference of day trading, like day trading interest groups. That was a thing, right? Like, that was very much a thing. You had, several campaigns going that were kind of grouped by audience, if you will, like people who, if we're selling audio equipment, people who like headphones versus microphones versus, different things, and then trading interests within those almost by the day, right? So like people interested in, a specific brand. I'm wearing M Audio right now, right? People interested in that brand or interested in XYZ affinity interest group, and then either adjusting or lowering the spends and bids on almost a daily basis. That was something that was very common. And now you don't see that at all. If you do see it, it's definitely not working. Like that is one thing that will put you in a ditch very quickly. Little things like that, that's more tactics oriented, but more broadly, I think just seeing better efficacy overall. I do feel like ad platforms it's a fact that the CPMs, the costs associated with advertising has spiked egregiously. And that naturally lends itself to lower performance over time. Those are just some of the things that have changed in the last 7 years. I think people who were early to it were really winning. And now, not so much unless you are really being tactical.
Final question here. If you could give any advice to somebody that's just starting, wanting to do the same thing as you do right now, what are the one or two pieces of advice that you would give to that person?
Yeah. There's a lot of cliche advice that's pretty good. Honestly, I think the one thing I've learned over the course of my career is be ready to be wrong a million times over, right? It is kind of cliche, but I think the more you're able to break through what is traditionally seen as best practice, the more you'll find yourself at the forefront of these changes, right? The only reason why I think I've been able to consult with some of the brands I have that are on my resume is due to my ability to not take things for face value and to always be willing to be wrong and change. Second piece of that would be take on everything you get, right? Sometimes it's just about reps. I have landed some pretty crazy deals in my career just because I'm repping harder than anybody else, right? It's the early bird gets the worm at a certain degree, right? So always be ready for the next opportunity that comes across the table, whether it's an interview like this or a client reaching out to you potentially, or even just a message on LinkedIn. You never know where things are going to lead. And I've had some of the craziest deals come through off the most random entry points.